Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In our Bible Adventures, we've been following the story of Jacob and his twin brother Esau. After many years of living apart from each other, the two men, with God's help, dealt with a large rift that existed between them. Under God's direction, Jacob moved back to his homeland. When Jacob and his family arrived in Canaan, they settled near a Canaanite tribe. But there was trouble, and two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, disgraced themselves by ruthlessly killing the men in that tribe. Jacob feared that other Canaanite tribes nearby might band together and attack them. So God told him to move further south to Bethel, the place where Jacob had lived nearly 20 years earlier when he was escaping from Esau, and where he had dreamt he had seen a vision of a stairway of angels leading up to heaven. God hadn't abandoned Jacob then, nor had he now, while he was back in the Promised Land. Before leaving for Bethel, Jacob's firstborn son Reuben also disgraced himself, and Jacob rebuked him by taking away his legal privileges as firstborn son. This meant that Judah, Reuben's brother, became the preeminent son in the family line. The Bible shows that among Judah's descendants came the Israelites' royal line and ultimately the Messiah, who we know as the Lord Jesus Christ, God's son. Jacob regarded Bethel as a holy place, and he instructed his family to get rid of any idols and religious objects that they had. They all needed to purify their hearts and do this in ways that were more than just putting on clean clothes before going there. On the way to Bethel, God protected Jacob and his family by causing the neighboring tribes that they passed to greatly fear them and not attack them. This is recorded in Genesis chapter 35. Once at Bethel, Jacob built an altar and worshiped God. God then again appeared to Jacob and confirmed that he now had indeed given Jacob a new name, which was Israel. God also reconfirmed the covenant promises that he'd given to Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. These covenant promises were conditional on the Israelites keeping God's covenant commands. Sometime later, Jacob's family moved on from Bethel a short distance away. During this move, Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife, began to give birth to a second son that she'd requested from God. The baby boy survived and was named Benjamin, but Rachel died in the childbirth. Her tomb to this day is known as being located at the northern entrance to Bethlehem. Our Bible Adventures drama today focuses on Joseph, Rachel's first son, when he was just a teenager.
The merchant's just arrived, Jacob. I thought you'd like to greet him yourself.
Yes, thank you. I'll come at once. Oh, Joseph, you'd better come with me. There's something I want to show you.
Well, I like that. I merely forget to ride over to Aaron's place, and Father rants and raves for half an hour. Then Joseph loses one of his prized lambs, and Father hardly says a word.
Yeah, it's plain to see Father prefers him. Still, Joseph's a lot younger than we are.
Well, that's got nothing to do with it. I think
quiet, they're coming.
Reuben, Dan, Judah, don't go away. We have an honored guest tonight. Ahab, the merchant.
Sir, these are my sons.
Oh, good evening to you, friends.
Good evening, sir.
Supper will be ready in a few minutes.
Ah, good. I'm hungry, and I'm sure Ahab is, too. Oh, by the way, my dear, look at this cloth.
It's very pretty and very unusual, too, and with so many colors all woven together.
Yes, isn't it? I thought it would make a fine coat for Joseph. A coat of many colors.
After supper, Joseph's brothers gathered together in the yard, sullen and angry.
I won't stand it any longer.
Wait a minute, not so loud.
I don't care if Father hears me or not. Joseph, Joseph, always Joseph. He gets the best of everything.
Well, this coat now that Father's going to make for him. A reward, no doubt, for losing that lamb.
Well, Joseph will have to be taught a lesson one of these days.
And so, because Jacob showed that he loved Joseph better than his other sons, They grew more and more jealous and looked for a way to get even with him.
In Genesis chapter 37, Jacob was living in Canaan. He had large flocks of sheep and goats which his sons looked after. Joseph, who was Jacob's 11th son, also helped with this work. But one day, Joseph gave a bad report to his father about his 10 half-brothers, who were much older than he was. This caused disharmony in the family when the stepbrothers found out. Jacob believed Joseph, and he favored him more than his other children, as Joseph had been born to him in his old age. Favoritism in a family doesn't bring peace or cooperation, and Jacob, who'd been favored as a child himself over Esau, should have been more aware of the problems this can cause than most people. So why did he do such a thing? Jacob recognized Joseph's birth to Rachel as a blessing from God. Jacob had worked many years for his father-in-law, Laban, to earn the privilege of marrying Laban's second daughter, Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel very much, but she was unable to have children for many years while his other wives had given him many sons. One day, Jacob gave Joseph a special gift, a beautiful coat of many different colors. In Joseph's day, everyone had a coat. These coats or cloaks were used to keep warm, carry belongings, and even to serve as security for a loan. Most are reported to have been very plain and about knee length to be merely functional. In contrast, the coat that Jacob gave Joseph was colorful, ankle length, and probably more in keeping with what royalty wore. Jacob also saw that Joseph had been gifted with dreams that revealed God's plans. So Jacob acknowledged this son to be very special, and he knew that God had determined Joseph to be a great leader. The coat was a token of this great love and recognition. The coat of many colors became a symbol of the favoritism between father and son. Not all future great leaders were favored by their parents the way Joseph was. Our attention now turns to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, where there's an account mentioned of the Lord Jesus in his adolescence years. The account ties together the recorded and prophetic circumstances of Jesus' birth with his adult baptism by John the Baptist at the age of 30. Mary, Jesus' mother, knew of Jesus' greatness as God's son before she even started carrying the precious baby. Jesus' stepfather, Joseph, also knew of the importance of this child. Both Mary and Joseph were devout Jews, and they traveled to Jerusalem each year for the Passover feast. Only men were required to make the journey, so Mary's presence showed her commitment. When Jesus was 12 years old, he went too. Religious instruction would have become more intense for Jesus on him reaching his 12th birthday. Jerusalem was 80 miles from Nazareth, so the trip would have taken 3 days to get there. Even by then, the Lord Jesus had a sense of mission and self-awareness of what his heavenly Father would require of him. His relationship with God was more important to him than his relationship with his earthly parents. After the 7 days of celebration, Jesus' family started on the return journey home. At the end of the first day's travel, Mary and Joseph couldn't find Jesus in the company of people returning with them. He was missing, so Joseph and Mary turned back the next morning to look for him. Can you imagine the grief in Mary's heart? Here she was, entrusted with the responsibility of caring for the only Son of God, and now she'd lost him. On returning to Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph spent a fruitless day searching for Jesus. Then, on the following day, they found him in the temple, listening and asking questions of the teachers there. Jesus' discussions with the learned scribes brought admiration from those who listened, as Jesus' answers were amazing and revealed his understanding of the Old Testament scriptures. At the tender age of 12, Jesus already showed signs of possessing great wisdom. Even then, Jesus was given respect as an outstanding child. When finally found, Mary spoke to the young Jesus in a way that both parents and children can appreciate. She expressed her concern about the anxiety Jesus had caused by remaining at the temple. Jesus understood, yet declared his mission by giving the first of many statements that started with, "It is necessary." Jesus wanted to be engaged in teaching God's ways, and there was no better place to start revealing himself than in the temple and in Judah's capital city. Jesus referred to God as his Father, and this suggests a deep sense of family relationship and intimacy that Jesus had with his heavenly Father. Such closeness to God had to be learnt, appreciated, and understood by Mary and Joseph. However, Jesus was obedient to them and then went home with them to Nazareth. While there, he grew physically and in wisdom and in the grace of God. However, as the family's firstborn son, He also learnt to be a carpenter by trade and took care of the family when his stepfather Joseph could no longer provide for them. During those years, Jesus waited for God's timing to begin his ministry associated with bringing God's kingdom to earth. Have you ever tried to define what a good Christian leader is or does? By giving Joseph a coat of many colours, Jacob was obviously coaching Joseph to become a leader. Some of us are natural leaders and some are natural followers. However, all of us have been given leadership in some area. Parents have the God-given responsibility to lead their children. At work, you might have some people or tasks that you're assigned to take the lead. Most of us change roles depending on the situation. Regardless of where we are in life, we've all worked with various types of leaders. Here are some of the more important character traits of a good Christian leader. Wisdom. All godly leaders must possess God's wisdom. Jesus himself was filled with God's wisdom and grace. Wisdom is different from mere knowledge. A wise leader's spiritual discernment is what sets him or her apart as a leader for God. Integrity. Personal integrity is demonstrated by who we are and what we do when no one is looking. Godly leaders possess integrity in their private lives as much as in their public lives. Love. How godly leaders love others is more important than what they know or might achieve. The Pharisees in Jesus' day were religious but unloving. People don't care how much a leader knows until they know how much the leader cares for them. This is shown as kindness in action. Seeks good advisors. Every effective godly leader needs advice and seeks advice from good sources of wisdom and experience. The ability to listen to the advice of others is the mark of a great leader. Self-control. The leader who cannot control himself will not command the respect of those they lead. It's vital that a godly leader exercises self-control with the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Compassion. Jesus is the ultimate model of taking time for the poor, the outcasts, and children. He was naturally drawn to the weak and those who needed an advocate. This is why James teaches us that pure religion is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. No need for public approval. There's great freedom in not having anything to prove or no one to impress. Godly leaders are more concerned about pleasing God than their popularity with others. In Proverbs, the Bible warns that the desire for receiving honor among men makes trusting God almost impossible. The leader who has his eyes on receiving the praise of people is not focused on obeying and pleasing God. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, it says, "The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Submission to God. Submission is the most important characteristic of a godly leader. When a man or woman is submissive to God and his Holy Spirit, God will direct that person into the ways that they can glorify God the best. Hebrews 10 verse 5 says, "When Christ entered the world, he said, 'Here I am, O Lord, I have come to do your will.'" May we encourage our church leaders to always seek the right goals in their service for the Lord. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. The sins to be, the problem too small. Jesus is Lord.